The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
A couple minutes after 7, we'll check town hall news here in just a moment. And as I have Tame Impala as the stoner bumper, I guess, because we're in this dreamy Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And David is in Eagle Point. Hello, David. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Just basically wanted to bring to attention for you and others that, you know, the city of Medford, in whatever capacity they're operating on, has two different types of utilities that they charge homeowners for.
Yes, indeed.
One is the utilities that we're used to of water and sewer, and which is legitimate services we opt into and pay for because we need them. The other is basically what I see as nothing more than an open pocketbook for them to our open pocketbook. They feel that they can pick any time they like by raising it. It's basically what they call utilities, which is emergency services, parks, stormwater, and so on, mm-hmm. which don't really qualify as a true utilities, nor do they qualify under the Public Utilities Commission.
Well, utility fee is essentially whatever the city of Medford wishes it to be. It's essentially a service that we want you to pay for, that we will force you to pay for, that we could not get you to pass a property tax for. Okay, it really is performing the job of what used to be done by property taxes, but people are no longer passing property taxes. So this is a work around that. And Jacksonville was the first city to really go down there. Of course, there was the lawsuit about it a number of years ago. And we really don't have control over the cost of our living in our areas because of these utility fees. This is not the only city doing it, by the way. It's the hot new trend everywhere you look in Oregon.
Well, there must be a way that we, the people, can do something about this, because literally I've gone around with them a few times, and you keep telling me you're going to put it on my taxes if I don't pay this bill, but they never do. They send it to a collection agency.
Well, about the only way this could be fought, I don't know if I'm not an attorney here, David, so I'm just spitballing a little bit. I've talked about this quite a bit off and on. It would seem to me that changing the definition of fees, especially the way fees are being conducted right now, because, well, even right now, everybody in Medford is forced to pay $60 a year for the tourist attraction known as Rogue X, whether they wanted to or not, because they have to pay the bond off. The taxpayers are on the hook for that, and then the city forces you to do this as part of your parks and fees and utility bill. It's like $61 a month. Last time I checked, $61, $62 a month. And they're going to be raising it some more, too, no doubt. Until there is some way to legally redefine these fees as the taxes that they really are for government activity, I don't know how we get control of this. Would you agree, or you think there's another way around this?
I would absolutely agree. I'd also like to know, is there any groups who are actively working on this?
I'm not aware of any at this point in time working to do that, but as they continue to pick the pocket more, maybe there will be. And I also understand the bind that cities are in too, because the taxes are not going up to match the rate of inflation. Local and public employees, of course, are going up. You know, you have cost of living goes up, the amount of money coming in doesn't necessarily go up. So there is a real situation going on. But as soon as we had that situation in Jacksonville in the lawsuit that more or less said that these fees are not considered taxes, I knew that we were off to the races at this point. And that's where we find ourselves. And until that gets attacked somehow legally, that cities cannot impose these kind of fees without a vote of the people, I don't know where you go. I really don't. Okay?
Okay. Well, do you have, by chance, on your website that case in Jacksonville, or where I could look that case up?
If you send me an email, Email okay. bill@billmeyershow.com. I will find it. I don't have it on the website. It's very old news at this point. I think it's about a 15, 20-year-old case. And I could I could put you on that. I have it in my archive someplace, all right?
Okay.
And we'll do that. Yeah, because some people in Jacksonville were looking at this the same way. Hey, wait a minute. You know, here is my water, and you're putting $10 a month, and now it's $20 a month, and now it's $40 a month. And, you know, we have no control over this other than to throw the city council out. But, you know, this has been a trend. It's been going on for a long, long time. And the court said, yep, the cities can do it. And they're all doing it for that very reason. I don't know. Does Eagle Point do any of that? Do you know?
Eagle Point, at this point.
Bet you they're thinking about it. Bet you they're thinking.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, because they'll probably say that they need tourist attractions forcibly paid for by the poor schlubs that live there, too. You watch.
Right.
It's coming.
it seems that every politician on every level, from my experience, and I have interacted with politicians off and on, was even considered one for a while, seem to have the idea that any idea that they have, we should pay for, whether it's a good idea or not.
Pretty much. And it's up to us to rein them in. And it's government is there for what we need, not what is nice. And they keep going more into, well, we need to put in stuff that is really nice to have. Well, nice to have is stuff that we need to just do on our own. Appreciate the call, David, but email bill@billmeyershow.com, and I'll get back with you with that case, unless somebody else can call and let me know, okay? Thanks for that. Let me go to line two on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. You didn't pull my trigger, but you cocked the hammer on utility fees. So.
Okay, cocked the hammer.
I think Central Point's utility fee is only a dollar. And quick history, I repeat myself. When the Medford first started the utility fee, it was a big, contentious, argumentative thing that finally got passed, and it started as $1. I think it's been 20 years, $1. They just raised it to a dollar in two other 50-cent increments to help, you know, pay for a fire station, and I forget what the previous 50-cent one was.
See, everything about that is that everything that used to be covered by property taxes, yeah, they're now shoving over onto...
Okay.
Onto the utility fees.
Yeah.
Now, on one aspect of it, at least that's kind of fair, or more fair, if you want to call it that, because even some schmo in an apartment has to pay it, okay?
Well, yeah, they do have to pay it, and of course the landlords, you know, are going to up the rent to do that and cover the extra expenses to have to deal with it. So, you know, for me, the homeowner, it's $61, probably going to go up to $62 here shortly, which is over $700 a year.
Yep.
And the apartment people, it's going to go up more, because not only are they going to pay their 50 cents, the landlord's going to say, well, I got to do more, although the landlords are restricted to their 10% increases through state law. But as the caller asked, what can we do about it? Well, I want to just accolade Sarah Spence. She is not running for re-election in her ward, but city councilors vote on stuff not just for their ward, but for the whole town. She never said yes to an increase in the utility fee.
And I think she's the only one that did.
Yeah, she's the only one that did. They need to look at some of their fluffy fees, and I wrote them the letter on the previous city council meeting. Why don't you take 5 cents from five of the other fund funds and tighten your belt a little bit, or please send me a leather punch in the mail with your next bill so I could do it to my own belt. And, you know, ask any political candidate, will you increase fees? And they'll him and haw and say, well, yeah. Well,
the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But they shouldn't be. You know, fiscal budgeting, fiscal management. You know, I don't have a swimming pool in my backyard, but I got a kiddie pool for my grandson. You know, he's not going to spend any time over at Rogue X.
Well, but you see, and that's the point. And you know, everyone's talking about this being a big tourism thing. I'll tell you what. If it's such a great tourism, then you have the tourist industry tax itself and pay itself for it, and only that. And,
or why didn't a private company, you know, like Water Perks of America, Big Wolf Water Running thing, build one here?
You know why? Because there's no money in it. And usually what happens to water parks that are built, unless they're subsidized by the taxpayers, they go bankrupt like the one in Redding did, I think, three times. Okay? All right. So anyway, I got to go, Bob, but I appreciate your pebble. All right. 770-5633. If you're on hold, I will be right with you. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more.
BXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. 770-5633. Matt, I don't know if you have a pebble or not, but it's great to have you on. What's on your mind?
No pebble. Actually, great interview with Steve Gorham.
Oh, glad you like that.
You know, yeah, it was great. And, you know, the government, there's things that they want to do, and there's things that business makes them do. I remember this was during COVID, I think 2020. There was a Bitcoin miner. I don't remember the name of the company, but they moved their company next to a hydro plant on the East Coast because they needed the energy and they want to be as close to the source as possible. And then, of course, this morning you guys talked about Microsoft basically getting one of the reactors at Three Mile Island of Pennsylvania to open, and then Microsoft will move one of its computer centers there. Wall Street has remained popular when online trading became big, where everything was happening over the internet. You know, once the internet got going, firms moved to New York to shorten that distance between their computers and the computers on the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. So big business will determine that nuclear power is the way forward. They're just going to keep twisting arms and saying, look, if you want my money, if you want the donations, you're going to have to do this because this is the way forward.
Now, in the state of Oregon, voters voted against this, so it is banned in Oregon. I'm kind of curious, what do you think it'll take to twist the gangrene arms in Oregon?
Oh, I tell you what's going to happen. The states that are interested in attracting these businesses for the Bitcoin miners and also for these massive computer centers, whichever state are open. I mean, in Wyoming, and I believe it's the western part of Wyoming, Bill Gates and his billionaire buddies are working on nuclear power plants there. And these power plants, they're not like they used to be. The newer ones that are going to be built, and this is going to take time, of course, are not going to require huge bodies of water. So they'll be able to be all over the place. I think the plants are going to get smaller. You're going to see business that requires a lot of energy in manufacturing or these big computer centers are going to be moving closer. So what will happen is in Oregon, if there are companies that really feel they need the electricity to run their businesses, they're just going to move out of Oregon. They're going to go somewhere where power is friendly. You guys pointed it out on what people are paying in their power bills in California. I mean, running your air conditioning and getting a power bill for $1,000 a month, that's what my house payment was.
Mm-hmm. And I know that Pacific Power has been doing its best to hold the line. I know Pacific Power is the company that people love to hate because of the wildfires and the increases in rates and stuff like that. But you better hope that they find a way to get more of that grid-level power 24/7 on here, because otherwise we're not that far behind California, right?
No, and you and Steve hit on it. The fact is, building power lines, you know, having a I can't remember the guy's name. He's a multi-billionaire, very old guy. He was in his 80s, and he was talking about building these windmill farms in the Midwest where the wind blows 24/7 about, right? But the transmission lines is where the whole thing fell apart. Oh, great, you've got windmills that turn all the time, even at night.
Yeah, but you have such great losses transmitting the power over great distances to get where it's needed.
That's right. And so these localized power sources are going to be what's required. And you're just going to see business is going to get closer and closer to these power centers. And you know what? And that's good. There's
Well, look at the benefit that would be here in Oregon, in which instead of having to depend on a grid for everything, in other words, well, the only way that we can function here in Southern Oregon is if we can get some coal power from Wyoming right now, which is what we do, right? But
right.
If you had more of the power generated here in those kind of small-scale nuclear plants, modular, those sort of things, things that you can add on to, especially the newer plants are not really attackable for use for making bombs and terrorist weapons, you know, that sort of thing. They're very different technology that we're talking about now. That would only be good, you know, to be decentralized and not having to be plugged into the mothership of a national grid to depend on everything. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's ironic? Because I don't like solar and I don't like wind for the reasons that Steve pointed out. It just takes too much space. They're ugly to look at. However, the ironic part is if you lived in a place in the South or in the Sun Belt, it makes sense if you've got a little property to have your own solar array, because then you're sort of doing the same thing that Microsoft does, where they'll move their computer plant to Pennsylvania. You're actually moving your solar panel to your backyard or to your roof and creating your own energy. So what we have is proximity. That's the trend. The trend is, if I can't go to the power and I don't require a lot of power, maybe I can have the power come to me. So I don't think solar panels go away completely unless nuclear is, fully...
And there's nothing wrong with solar, but I have to tell you, and I know it sets the birds on fire if you have those kind of mirrors concentrating the solar energy, but at least the one thing I'll say about those particular solar plants is that they can run 24/7 because they heat the molten salt compound and they keep it there underground, and they run the boilers at nighttime, you know, which is everything that, you know, it has its own built-on backup, I guess is what I'm saying, unlike the, the current system in which, all right, we'll put up some solar cells and then we need 10 times the cost of that in Tesla batteries. Forget about it, okay?
Yeah, I think it's all going to go in the right direction. I think this is a hiccup, forcing windmills and all this other stuff. You mentioned the windmills offshore and the East Coast. You know, this stuff, it's going to find its way out. You can try to force this on people, but when it becomes so expensive, look, people, inflation is still hurting people. It is still going to hurt people. I sent you that article last night. There, you have to make things cheap for people. You just have to.
Do you think that Trump has the ability to make things cheaper for people? You think so?
What are we talking about? Energy.
Mm-hmm.
You have, honestly, not to bag on him too much here. He's a terrible debater. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
The fact is, he should have pulled his pen out of his pocket, much like if you remember Milton Friedman, the beginning of this, I think it was The Time of Choosing or something, where he holds up a pencil and talks about all the bits and parts and pieces that come from different parts of the world that, you know, the hands that shake and you get together and create these deals and we have a pencil that costs almost nothing. That's what he should have done. He should have said, well, here's the problem with Kamala. She doesn't understand. Like, take my pen, for example, and just go through what it costs to manufacture a pen and just look at her and say, she doesn't understand any of this. She doesn't understand any of this. So if you don't understand how this works, well, how can you make it less expensive? You have to help reduce input costs.
And energy, of course, is one of the biggest input costs, all right? Hey, I really appreciate the call, as always. Matt, you're always thoughtful. Appreciate that. We got all sorts of thoughtful listeners this morning. Let me go to the next line here. I want to make sure we get everybody in, Matt, okay? Line two, you've been waiting for a while. Hi, who's this? Morning. Hello? Going once?
Hello.
Going. Yeah, hi.
Hey, Bill. That court case you're looking for is Knapp versus the city of Jacksonville. Filed January 19, 2007.
Jacksonville. Okay. I thought it was getting pretty close to 20 years ago, so I was right about that. Knapp,
right.
Is it Knapp like K-N-A-P-P?
Correct.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. And one more item is the on the utility fees, if I'm not mistaken, even nonprofits are paying for this, so it's spread out further than what you think it is. As to opposed to people just being taxed for property taxes where nonprofits are exempt on that.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. Perhaps, though, where we should be starting to treat the fee, though, is that a fee needs to go to the voters for approval. What would you think about that? Because you're right. Well, everybody pays, and even the nonprofit rackets end up paying, unlike with property tax, right?
Right. And, you know, maybe there needs to be an initiative petition to where there's a limitation, like Measure 5 or Measure 47/50, employed into this so that they're just not runaway fees.
Because as it is right now, there's no way for the people to really control their cost of living. Yeah, you can throw out your city council if they end up going nuts, but that's, you know, that's awkward and very difficult to do. There needs to be some direct control on that, okay? Appreciate the call, Brian. Thanks for that. 725-770-5633. Got an open line here if you wanted to join in. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
Go to defendfamily.com now.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
770-5633 on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And we have Deb. Deb's in Rogue River. Hello, Deb. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Bill. Yeah. I was just calling. I mean, obviously, this is the Pebble in My Shoe, and I heard the gentleman talking about the Rogue X water park.
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff. I mean, a lot of our littler cities are getting some cool stuff put in. You know, there's grant money being given, but there's also reasons for that. And there are some cities that have to comply by December 31st with things that the state of Oregon wants. And some of those are like revised parking plans, like they want to cut down our parking and stuff. A lot of that is about that 15-minute cities. And you know what? It's nice that Rogue River just got a new laundromat. And we might get a second one. But you know what? If it's a nice day, I'm going to drive to Grants Pass or maybe even Medford just because that's my right to do that.
Hmm. For now.
I'm going to comply with that.
Yeah, for now it is. Now, what you're talking about, when you hear the term 15-minute city, that's one way of doing it. But the way it's called in Oregon, or what it's called in Oregon, is the climate-friendly, equitable community. And Medford, of course, has been forced to sign on. This is an executive order.
Copy that. The Green New BS. Got it.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, got it.
That is all part of it to reduce vehicle miles. And this is something coming from the top down. And
right.
The only way that I see out of this is that there almost needs to be an open rebellion against the state of Oregon. And I don't know if there is a method to get around to that, if you end up getting enough people that are just ready to set their city on fire politically, that there's a pushback. Now, as a matter of fact, tonight, I wanted to make sure that people knew about this, Deb.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. And this is meeting in, I'm trying to find out when this is going to be. Tomorrow night. Okay, so it's going to be tonight in Eagle Point. City Council meeting in Eagle Point about the 15-minute city. It's not about them building a 15-minute city. It's about them putting 15-minute city sections in every major metropolitan area here in Southern Oregon. But tonight, they're trying to do this, and it's
exactly. You know what? Let's get fired up, and it is time. And you know what? I do know a way to do it, because I sat at the Ambassador Auditorium last night and listened to Dr. Frank for the third time, and we're past this whole let's get together and challenge it and question this and question that and impeach this. And no, now it's time to we declare our rights, find out where they're violating them. We come together, nullification. I mean, that's how it goes. Exactly.
Yeah, you're not going to, I think, be able to rebel by rebelling within their corrupt system. I think that's where we're finding ourselves right now, Deb. Okay?
Right, but you know what he suggested? You know what? Because he was talking about, like, if you challenge, like, something at one of the election offices or something. Well, Oregon has a nice little underlying law that if you question or you even barely say anything to the election official, you can be arrested for it. Well, you know what? They're not going to arrest 50 of you. You go down there.
That's true.
100 of you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying Dr. Frank had a lot of positive information. You know, I'm talking about absolutely peacefully, friendly, everything, but it's time to unify.
Appreciate the call, Deb. Good point, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, let me touch on this, by the way. The resolution that they're voting on in Eagle Point tonight would be resolution number 2024-47, a resolution authorizing intergovernmental agreement number 23062 between the state of Oregon and the city of Eagle Point to receive assistance from the Department of Land Conservation and Development for adoption of land use regulations pertaining to climate friendly areas. Did you hear that? Climate friendly area. This is the beginning of the end of control of your city, just like Medford is now, you know, involved in this one. And there needs to be pushback from your city councils. And I don't know. I don't know if the city can get away with it, because as Brad Bennington has talked about, if you don't do it, if you're not involved in it, you will not be allowed to develop. So maybe that's where we have to go. It's 7:32. Dave's here. Hello, Dave. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I have two things. The first one is my doctor is retired from seeing patients. Mm-hmm. And on November 4th, I have an appointment with the Kirk Medical Clinic, where they're going to assign me a new healthcare provider, which will be what you call a registered practical nurse that can write for anything or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the doctor that I will no longer see in patients, he's retiring because he's the only doctor there. He's going to be he's still the administrator. He's only retiring from seeing patients because he was overworked. And for his health, I understand why he's not doing that anymore. But, you know, down here in Wairika, with only 44,000 people for the county, it's hard to get actual doctors to live here. They do have another doctor. Mm-hmm. That's in Michigan that comes on and does it through the satellite thing, you know, like whatever.
Telehealth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so basically it's, you know, well, it's kind of like that nobody cares about here. And then I was talking to my social worker yesterday. They're trying to find me a different place that I could temporarily move out of here. I don't qualify for any subsidies, but they found a place we're going to apply for in Montague.
So are you thinking about moving out of the Iron Gate?
Temporarily, yeah, until I can fix things where I have water.
Yeah, yeah. All the best. I'm kind of curious there, and back on the telehealth there, since the doctors seem to be going into that with you there, do they give you, are they able to give you a prostate exam via telehealth? Do you have like a little robot now? Is that what the future is going to be, with a robot that...
I don't know, but I've had those prostate exams.
Okay.
And they didn't do it. The doctor had to be there.
Yeah, I don't want to go there, that's for sure. Thanks, Dave. Let me grab a couple more calls here. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Ed Bill. How
Hello,
are
Ed.
You?
I'm fine, Ed.
I turned on the radio as I got in the vehicle, and I heard your discussion about the executive orders for climate-friendly communities and all of this stuff. And I just want to remind folks of something, that is, the executive orders only affect state agencies. And we need to move to change our charter, because that is the one thing that was a lie that was literally put forth to ensure the success of SB 100.
Yes, getting all of the counties and small cities to change their charters so that they are defined first and foremost as an agency of the state, which means that you have to essentially dance to the tune of whatever communism comes out of the state of Oregon.
That's exactly right. And we need to put that single part on the ballot, and we need to push for that in a way that we cannot, how to say, back down from. And that is the one true change that needs to happen, because the body politic, the people of a county, should have the final say in how they live in that county in that regard.
And not living under the tyranny of a former governor's executive order, her agenda-based
exactly
executive
right.
order, the climate-friendly, equitable community. And I think you make a very good point. Anyone going to step up on this? I really don't have time to run a political campaign on this, because it would take a lot of work. Someone needs to be able to volunteer on this. We need to look for someone on that. Okay.
It comes to mind, everything is being exposed on it. Everybody has complaints about it. And the one true simple way to fight it is to step up as a county, and we have to change that. That's got to be the thing that's a step that has to be taken. Otherwise, you're subject to these executive orders. And if the body politic overwhelms that mandate, okay, by, you know, sheer determination and will, that's a lot of work. We've done it, okay? We've done it here in Jackson County now for a long time. But the true reality is that it would become far easier, and it would be a way to tell these people to just literally send them packing, because we don't need this. This is the destruction of our way of life.
I know that there was a proposal in the Jackson County Commission to refer changing the charter to as you said, but there was only one commissioner in favor of it so far, right?
That's reality. That's real. And that's what we have to do, because, you know, as you look forward into this, driving downtown Medford anymore, what a ridiculous program this is.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is all part of the climate-friendly, equitable community, reducing vehicle miles traveled, et cetera, et cetera. Reducing vehicle miles traveled and destroying your economy in the process here, too, because it's not going to be replaced by any credible business model, okay? Ed, got to go. I appreciate that, but your point well taken. It's got to be. The charters need changed, and if a city is defined as an agency of the state, it needs to be changed, too. I don't know if the city charters are that way. I haven't looked that deeply into it. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Soil problem. Visit MilletConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED.
19 before 8, and by the way, if you're on hold right now, we might want to try again. We'll have more open phones after 8 o'clock this morning, okay, on Pebbling Your Shoot Tuesday. So it's nothing personal. I just ran out of time because we have a scheduled interview every Tuesday. We talk with Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. Herman, welcome back to the insanity known as life in Oregon. How are you, sir?
Boy, isn't that the truth, huh?
Yeah. Hey, I'm just kind of curious. Executive orders there, are they coming after Grants Pass, Josephine County, too, on this climate-friendly, equitable community thing that I was talking about with other people?
They're coming after the whole state, but it's going to be, you know, a little bit over a period of time. That's just how they do things.
Okay. Why don't we dig into, some of the stuff we wanted to talk about this morning. Atomic power. Where are we in this? This is something that you are really interested in. And something I think would actually be a big deal for Oregon if we ever got off our butt and decided to change the laws a bit.
So right now, with the current technology that we know, nuclear power is the solution to our energy needs. When you consider that the third world countries are all starting to come online, the wants for power are going to continue to increase as more and more people get it. And like I said, with the current technology we have, nuclear power is really the solution. However, here in the United States, that's a terrible, dangerous thing. In fact, in the state of Oregon, it's in our Constitution that we can't have nuclear power. I mean, the only nuclear power plant that we've ever had, Trojan, we tore it down. So we have to change public sentiment. We have to change public opinion on this matter. And that's going to take years to do. And how you do it is you get these electricity prices so damn high, and then you say, hey, the solution is nuclear power.
Ah, so you're thinking, hey, this is a conspiracy of conspiracy, Herman. So
No, it's not a conspiracy, Bill, because this is how they do it.
Well, no, I know, but there's more than one or two people involved in this, so it's a conspiracy, okay? So,
okay.
All right, but that's the way we look at this then. So the whole plan to double, triple the cost of energy in the state of Oregon through the climate-friendly, equitable communities with the carbon reduction, everything about this coming out of the state of Oregon is ultimately to pave the way to change the Constitution over nuclear power. That's your opinion on that, because that's the way they do it here?
Yeah, you can't get nuclear power unless you change public opinion. And public opinion in Oregon right now is nuclear power is dangerous. And that's why they put it in our Constitution and we tore down Trojan. So we got to change that. There's no way that you could push nuclear power in Oregon unless you change public opinion. And the only way to change public opinion is make them hurt and then show them this is the remedy to the hurt.
I love that. So break your leg over and over again with high energy prices, and then finally you'll say, Uncle, I give up. I don't care about the constitutional aspect of nuclear power. Let's get rid of that. Let's bring it in. If Bill Gates can do it, we can do it, right?
Well, that's how they did it in France. And that's pretty much how they did it in France. And France is pretty much run on nuclear power. Germany, not so much, because the opinion of the public is it's dangerous, but I have a funny feeling they'll be coming around because their cost of electricity and energy is off the charts.
Well, I know in France, when I visited Paris a number of years ago, about 15, 16 years back, they were just running nuclear full tilt. And even in this socialist country, the arguably socialist country, and let me tell you, those cafes were pretty warm in the middle of the winter. Back there, January, February. It was really interesting, and nobody seemed to mind that whatsoever at all. It was pretty much accepted that you were going to have nice, warm places to live and shop.
Well, you know, when I was in the Senate, they sent me to energy school, and that was 1 week up in the state of Washington and then 1 week back in D.C. And you learn how these things are going to progress. And the technology has changed, Bill. I will give them back. It's a lot different than it was 50 years ago. So that's where it's going to go. It's going to take years to do it, but that's where we're headed.
Now, let me ask you then, is all of this push for commercial-grade solar with all the solar cells everywhere and the solar farms being put all over Southern Oregon, are these kind of, in your opinion, designed to ultimately fail?
Well, they are going to fail because they just simply won't work. You know, they won't work.
Well, but the idea is that they fail and then it's used to then, hey, listen, we can't keep the HVAC on. People are dying in the winter or they're dying in the summer, you know, when it's hot, and it's too cold in the winter and the solar cells aren't working when you need it, et cetera, et cetera. We can't put the batteries up. Hence, we then condition people to be accepting. Even Ashland would be accepting once the lights go out too often or the price is too high. You think even they'd go with it for nuclear power?
Absolutely, because we're spoiled. You know, we can't have our air conditioning. We can't have our dryer. So as we're talking, I walked into my den and I dug around here and I found this what I got from energy school. So it's a pellet, and it's about the – take the diameter of a pencil, and it's about 3/8 of an inch long. So it's a pretty small pellet, okay? So that one pellet equals 149 gallons of oil, one ton of coal, or 17,000 cubic feet of natural gas. That one little pellet of uranium.
As a nuclear fuel, used that way.
As a nuclear fuel. And those are the pellets that they use. That is one of them. And those are the pellets they use to energize those nuclear reactors.
Since you went to energy school, though, how is our domestic supply of uranium? Our domestic supply. I know that it's available overseas, but what's our domestic supply like? Do you know?
I will tell you that is somewhat of a secret. So we don't. Somebody knows, but Bill and Herman don't know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And by the way, just under the guise of full disclosure, I do have some investments in nuclear miners because I'm just thinking that at some point we're going to have to go there. So I agree with you that ultimately we're going to have to go there. But I'm thinking, all right, I'll put some of my little 401k money where my mouth is for now. We'll see.
So I spend quite a bit of time in Wyoming, and there's uranium mines there. And when you ask people, why are they closed down, it's not because there's a shortage of uranium. It's a shortage of the need for uranium.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said...
Do you agree with what Matt was saying? I don't know if you heard what Matt was saying ultimately, that those big companies like the Microsofts, like the Facebooks and everything else, will eventually push the government to what they need. And right now they're pushing and locating to where the energy is and even restarting Three Mile Island, one of the plants over there. Do you agree with him that that's really ultimately what's going to be shoving this to fruition? Nuclear power?
Well, electricity, we're running everything on electricity. And, you know, there's kind of a couple parts to that. There's the generation of electricity, and then there's the transportation of electricity. And so both of those have got to be changed in this country. Because, you know, when you go to Africa, let's say South Africa, you have load shedding all the time.
Load shedding is translation as the lights go off frequently.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then anybody that has any money, their generator goes on. But it's usually for 8 hours or so, and they just move the electricity grid around the country because they don't have the production of electricity to give electricity to everybody. Mm-hmm. And there's some political stuff, there's some infrastructure stuff that's causing it, but at the end of the day, it's very inconvenient, you know.
Well, they have lots of sunshine, Herman. Why don't they just put up solar cells everywhere? It'll be perfect. They should be in Nirvana. Should be no problem.
Yeah, well, it's interesting when you show up at a hotel and about the time they give you the key, the lights go out and then they hand you a battery lantern and said, well, it'll be on in 8 hours.
Yeah, not exactly what you would call a first world country. And if you want to remain a first world country, there you go. Hey, Herman, why don't we shift gears here? What's the political rhetoric and temperature going on right now in Oregon, Southern Oregon?
Well, not just Oregon. It's, you know, it's just election season. I mean, let's start at the top. You got Trump, who's out there, you know, and his topic obviously is the border.
Mm-hmm.
and he's going to, you know, round up all the bad people and send them out of the country, which is maybe not a bad idea, even though I do understand we have to have immigration because we do not have enough babies in this country anymore to fill all the jobs. And as the baby boomers retired, there's this huge void. However, I've always believed that immigration has to be, there's got to be a process. We got to know who's coming in and what they're going to do. And the most important thing, Bill, when we let immigrants in, is to keep them off the welfare rolls. Okay. And that's what all countries look at on immigration, is we don't want people coming here and then immediately going for government handouts.
Well, that would definitely take a change at the top because the Democrat administration is happy with everybody being on welfare and assistance at this point.
Yeah. So in the last 20 years, we ran up a $35 trillion bill. So in the next 20 years, are we going to double that? We will not be a nation, I can guarantee you. Then you have Vice President Harris, and you know her platform is abortion for everybody, and the taxpayer will pay for it, and it's perfectly fine, and it can be full term, and so those are hers. And you can see, so mm-hmm. Trump's running on immigration. She's trying to get the woman's vote on abortion. Okay.
Now the other aspect that Trump came out with the other day, I think it's kind of economic nonsense. He wanted to put a limit of 10% on credit card bills. You won't have any credit card debt because nobody will loan at 10%. You got that's he must be just trying to get a few dim votes out there, a few low information voter votes.
This election's going to be close, and it's definitely, as Robert Frost said in his poem, two roads diverged in the woods. Which one should I travel?
Uh-huh.
It is. They're completely, absolutely, completely different directions. The Donald Trump direction and the Kamala Harris direction.
Yeah, you can't tell me that there's not a choice. That's for sure. Hey, before you take off, though, you having been a former chair of the Oregon Republican Party, who's running the Oregon Republican Party right now? Do you know?
Well, Justin Wong is the chairman right now.
Okay. And the reason I bring this up is that the Oregon Republican Party has decided to be neutral on Measure 117. I'm sorry, Measure 115, which allows the impeachment of state officials. This is one of the dumbest moves that I've seen out of the Oregon Republican Party yet, given the fact that they didn't say anything about Measure 113 and various others. Because you know damn well, Herman, that if a dumb voter just said, well, I would like to have the impeachment of state officials, well, it takes a two-thirds majority to be able to impeach a bad public official. Do you honestly think they're going to be impeaching Democrats with that two-thirds Democrat majority here in the state of Oregon? Or are they going to be using their two-thirds majority to impeach Republicans? What is your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is a stupid move. And how many times have I said on your radio show that the goal of the Democrats is to get 20 in the Senate and 30 in the House, okay? And once they get that, they have the two-thirds majority, and they don't need Republicans for anything. They're never going to spend money on trying to convert Eastern Oregon. They don't need it.
They just want to make sure that you can be bypassed with enough there. But
right, and it'll be just like California, where a Republican in the legislature is nothing. They don't need them.
Well, that's what they're trying to do here, and I'm trying to figure out why the Oregon Republican Party wouldn't see the stupidity of being neutral on this. 115 is bad for Republicans. It would be used to get rid of Republicans. That's all.
Well, the reason I think is there's still people in the Republican Party saying, well, we're going to this next election. We're going to have more Republicans, and so then we might be able to impeach Democrats.
They're dumbasses.
We're a long way from that, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, a long way from that. Boy, I'll tell you. I cannot survive more Oregon Republican Party. I'm talking about the upper level, more Oregon Republican Party dumbassery than this one. I just can't. I just can't believe
so
that.
I first got in the Senate, in every election season after that, I kept hearing, oh, we're going to take the Senate. We're going to take the Senate with this candidate. We're going to. And then. You know,
hey, I hope they're right. I hope they're right.
And it never happened in all the years I was there. It never happened.
Yeah. And now we have how many hands are? Well, I guess it started off with about 300 people, illegal aliens registered to vote. It's a little bit more now. Every day it becomes a little bit more. 1,300 today, maybe it'll be 2,500 next week, could be 10,000. Who knows how many by the time we're done? I'm sure we'll get a good accounting of it from the Secretary of State's office.
You said something very accurate just now. Who knows how many there'll be?
Yeah.
They're only going to tell us what they're going to tell us.
It's a limited hangout. You know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There could be 5,000, and they may be telling us they're only 1,200. We don't know, do we, Bill?
No, we do not. But anyway, since we've used my time right now to talk about Measure 115, this is the impeachment one. All five of the state ballot measures should go down in flames. Would you agree with me on that?
I agree.
Okay.
Yep.
Every one of the state ballot measures, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, I think is the other one too. Every one of them, they all need to be gone. And besides 115, which is the one about the impeachment, referred to you by the Oregon State Legislature. And the same with ranked choice voting, referred by the state legislature. It's controlled by the Democrats. Folks, why would you vote for something approved by the Democrats going to the voters? It's like, do they get it, Herman? Do enough people finally figure this out?
Let me tell you something. Most everything that's referred in a referendum are referred by the legislature to the voters. Is the legislature wants it, they just don't want to be seen as promoting it.
Yeah. That's all you need to know. And who controls the legislature, Herman?
The Democrats.
Exactly.
So on a local level, they had a forum here in Grants Pass, but only the liberal thinking candidates went to, and the conservatives didn't show up because it was put on. It was basically put on the Democrats. They keep saying, you know, people for whatever, a balance. You said it earlier in your show. There is no such thing as bipartisanism. I've been saying that forever. It is a joke. You know, you're either going to go into politics looking through a conservative lens or go into politics looking through a liberal lens. It's that simple, Bill.
That's
it. Don't let anybody try to tell you different.
Yes, Pete. Yeah, don't believe them when they're talking about, oh, nonpartisan means that it's pure and clean and there's... Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, you're just hiding it.
Right.
You're just hiding it.
Hiding it.
But yep.
I listened to some of the stuff for these people running for commissioners talking about issues that they have no understanding of. Absolutely. Oh, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. You've got state statutes.
Okay, give me an example of something that these candidates think they can do, but you really can't.
Oh, funding. I'm going to fund this, and I'm going to fund that, you know? And I'm like, well, with what money? Oh, I'm going to get a grant. Maybe, and maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that simple. The one that I just say, both candidates for commissioners, we're talking about, we funded IT this year for like $800,000 more, which is a big lift. The reason for that is this particular year, two things happened to us. One, we had to get a whole bunch of new computers because the software in the old computers, the companies wouldn't support anymore. So they're junk. You understand that world.
Yep, you had to upgrade. You were forced to upgrade because of obsolescence, okay?
Right, and it was a lot. And the second thing is our subscriptions for all of our cybersecurity and all that. Some of these subscriptions, they're three-year subscriptions, they're almost $200,000 for the county. And you have to have them because if you have a breach like Curry County, they were down for 6 months. They were upside down.
Man.
So, you know, we had some big expenses. And so one of the candidates says, oh, the commissioners are doing something sneaky, and I'm going to wait and see what they're doing. They're doing something sneaky. I just know it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You know, you got these people that are running for office, and I know, you know, they have no government experience. They have no... And they don't take the time to educate themselves on the issues. It's absolutely amazing. But yet they have all the answers. Blows my mind.
Well, prepare to be mind blown next week too, Herman, because I don't think it's going to change much between this Tuesday and next Tuesday. But we'll talk with you then. All right? Be well.
All right. You have a good week, Bill.
All right. I plan on it. I'm just going to go into my cave and hide. No, just kidding. I can't do that. I'm not that antisocial, but it is a couple minutes after 8. This is KMED.